feet are so soft that even we fear to put them on our bodies and on our breasts because they may be too hard. So let's speak of going into the forest. We can't allow this. Even Kamsa's mother, is her name Padmavati, right?
Padmavati.
Kamsa's mother.
Kamsa's mother?
I think it's Padmavati. Anyway, she was criticized in the residence of Vrindavan because Rohini was saying, you know, Krishna should actually go back to Vrindavan, he's making everybody suffer. And she said, no, 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 they deserve it. Because they send Krishna out in the forest, they don't give him any shoes. Make him walk around barefoot. And then they don't feed him properly, so he has to go steal butter from the neighbors. So, no, forget about that. He shouldn't stay here in the forest. The point is that within each rasa is contained, but dasya rasa is contained in every rasa. Of course, there is shanta rasa in the Loka Vrindavan, but it also has, there cannot be pure shanta rasa. It cannot be pure, because pure shanta rasa is impersonal. Just, you know, peace and existence. But there has to be some tendency towards service, but the tendency of just seeing how wonderful Krishna is the main. The trees and the cows, their main rasa is shanta rasa, but they also serve. Because if you don't serve, then a devotee has to serve. Even though their service may be just seeing Krishna and offering prayers to Krishna in shanta rasa. That's found in every other place.
There are some other groups other than ISKCON, they try to criticize, you know, that you guys are only in Dasya Rasa, we are in Sakya Rasa, Madhurya Rasa.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada smashed them.
Yeah.
It was in 1975. It was the Gopi Baba Club in Los Angeles.
No. Yeah, that, I'm talking about Narayan Maharaj.
Because they don't understand the mood of Srila Prabhupada. You know, what is the mood of any devotee? The mood of any devotee, as long as Rupa Goswami says, as long as you're within the material body, you know, you have to follow sadhana bhakti. You have to follow. Because you have to, the material body has to be disciplined, has to be managed. Just like children, you know, you can't sit and tell children, just, you know, like some modern psychologists, they tell children, just, you know, let them grow up and do what they want, you know. So how would your children turn out? You know? Just let them, you know, whatever they experience, it, just, and they will naturally grow up. Some psychologists think like that.
I may hear something, and yeah, then you can do the question.
Can I just a comment? It sounds to me like somebody wants to institutionalize the rasa, like
make it mechanical.
Yeah, like telling, yeah, you are all in dasya rasa or whatever, you're in a higher rasa. It's like institutionalizing something, which is like, come on, it's something individual, like, and even the higher rasas and dasya rasa is so high up there, like. That's really something individual when you're making real progress in how to do your life. That's what comes to mind.
At the present moment, we don't have a rasa, which does not mean that we don't have naturally the rasa. The rasa is there. But at the present moment, it's not manifested. So the only way by which this rasa can be developed is through purity. If you don't take away the dirt from the mirror of your consciousness, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chetudarpana Marjanam, Bhavamahanda Bhagni Nirvapanam, etc., then if this dirt is not taken out, the rasa will not come out. So right now, we shouldn't act or think according to rasa tattva, but simply according to sadhana. two types of sadhanas. Sometimes Raganulga is understood or misunderstood as a spontaneous type. It's not like that. It is a type of sadhana. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains very clearly what some understand as Raganuga Bhakti, so it should be called Ragatmika Bhakti, which is a different type. Ragatmika Bhakti is the bhakti that comes from the heart, doesn't depend, it shouldn't depend actually in any regulation. So now we're not going to talk about Vaidhi and Raganuga because it will take so much time. But the point is that this desire of not practicing sadhana and going directly to rasa, talking about rasa, or actually behaving, falsely behaving, pretending to be in a particular rasa, this is called, this is one of the most serious diseases in spiritual life, which is Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and other sacharya, they call this prakriti sahaja. Prakriti sahaja means to enjoy. They want to enjoy Krishna or spiritual life. They don't want to have Krishna enjoy. They don't want to serve, actually. They want to directly go to enjoy. So we don't accept this philosophy. We don't accept that we even talk about rasa. We had to talk about rasa in terms of hearing. We had to hear it. But we should not go practicing. This is not. There is also another current, philosophical current, which is called, those who give what is called Siddha Pranali. The Siddha Pranali is those gurus who supposedly understand your original rasa. So they will give you name and form and tip according to that rasa. But this is a cheating process. Although, theoretically, it's not against our philosophy, it's part of our philosophy. But provided the guru and the disciple are already on the liberated stage, then yes, then the guru should, just like I was reading yesterday, that Lalita, since there was Lalita Shasti a few days ago, at the appearance day, Srimati Lalita, and Lalita is the guru everyone in the spiritual world. He's really the guru. He gives direction to everyone what to do and how to do. So so if you are liberated and the guru is liberated, then this process may be accepted. But this is not accepted if there is even this the smallest tinge of material element in consciousness of the guru and his both. So rasa should be taught because we had to know, but not practice. Now we had to chant 16 rounds minimum, we had to study, we had to do that, and then the rasa will come out.
I hope it's true, but what I heard from Bhaktisiddhanta, the same thing, this Siddha Pranali, where he says, how we turn Siddha Pranali is Trinada Pisuvichana, and just if that really is our main sadhana, then
if you're not humble, there is no such a thing as arrogant servant. It's a contradiction in terms. So that's why Sichatana Mahaprabhu in the Trinadya Pisu Nishanat, Rora Pisu Ishmana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadar. He said, you have to chant. You cannot chant if you don't serve. And how to serve? What is the main characteristic of a servant? You have to be humble. You have to be humble. And he explains it, how humble you have to be. He goes to the extreme of saying you have to be like a blade of grass. Everybody steps on a blade of grass. He doesn't even protest. So that's the extent of how much, because in this way we detach from the external phenomenon of our lives. All these devotees said this to me, all the other thing happened to me, etc. We had to see all these like shades, shadows, like inconsistent, without substance, unsubstantial shades which just don't exist. In this way, we can live inside, we can do an internal life, because spiritual life is internal, and we have to utilize whatever we do in our spiritual life for our personal enrichment. So that's why, if we become so humble in that way, then we'll be able to chant. Otherwise, it would be impossible, because our mind is not ready. Does not have the same symphony. So there is no doubt, as Maharaj was very correctly saying, if we want to compare our sadhana, our everyday sadhana, to some rasa, which is not the same thing. The dasya rasa in the spiritual world is not the same thing as the dasya we are doing here. But if we want to compare to any rasa, then a dasya rasa is surely the most similar type of rasa when you want to serve. Just like the spiritual master. Why is so important the spiritual master? It's important because you can serve. Why Prabhupada? What's the meaning of Prabhupada? There are different translations we can give of the word pada. Pada means feet, but also means position. So someone who takes the position of Prabhu, Krishna, he takes his position, he accepts the service. Accept the service, because if he gets too shy, it does not accept service. And how people is going to practice serving Krishna? It's a different thing serving something that you don't see moving, talking, and someone you see moving and talking. It's a different level. It's so important to serve somebody living. And that's why the spiritual master is the most important position. Disciples should treat the spiritual master just like they would treat the Supreme Personality of God.
And here is a question of like this rasa. What comes in my mind is Ramana Swami once said, if you just give up fault finding and criticism, then you're almost in the spiritual world. So then, if you're really there, like this means you have to see the good in everybody to, in order to not criticize them, to not fault find them. And that's actually what brings us near, like to the spiritual world, understanding of rasa or whatever. So it's very practical. I see that, but Siddhanta is very practical. Now that song goes, it's very practical. It just explains one thing, that's what you have to do.
That depends also on your service, though, because in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna did not say to Arjuna, just be humble and go to the forest. Exactly the opposite. So if someone has given a particular service which needs not to see the happening of this world as unsubstantial shadows, then he should see that and he should act in a pragmatic way, in such a way that devotional service gets done. But if someone is so fortunate not to have any managing position, he just be a sadhu, then he can be in that way. Not find faults, you know, not find, because if you are a temple president, you don't find faults.
But actually,
then you are a better person.
It's also a service, it's not really finding, you're just trying to help.
Yes, actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said this is why being guru is so difficult. He said, first of all, everybody's worshipping you and saying you're as good as God, and on the other hand, you always criticize them. That means, you know, of course you're positive, but you're always seeing, you're always having to look for the negative, you know, what somebody's doing wrong. You always have to look for that. because otherwise the duty of the guru is to get rid of all that negativity, all that desire to enjoy as much as he can, for of course, as much as the disciple will respond. But that's his duty. Then he can take you on the path of artha pravritti, that the positive activities on the spiritual path. But as Manaprabhu said, if there's one vestige, if there's one small amount still of material desire, then the guru cannot take you there. Also, the guru has to be there to take you there.
Yeah, it is said that a spiritual master is the dearmost servant of the Lord because he does the most difficult service, because he is doing something that is completely unnatural, because the only servant, the only one is Krishna. So a spiritual master, although he is a jiva, so he is a servant by nature. And now he has to be served. He has to accept it. This is his position. So it's completely unnatural, but he has to do it. So because he takes such a difficult position of having to do something unnatural for a jiva soul, then he gets a very, very much appreciated by Krishna, and he gives him all blessings so that he can do his service with success.
It's quite absolute.